Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Just like the Mucinex guy or the little guy that...
People, probably, instead of...
Good morning! Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
He was born ready.
I think he was born ready as well. And good morning. I'm Lynette, back from Italy. So should I say buongiorno?
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, Dr. Jerry Mixon.
Did you see that commercial about the croissant where the lady comes back from Europe and he says, it's croissant.
Croissant.
Croissant. Croissant. Well, I had a pistachio croissant a couple times. Yeah. Yes.
Silent tea.
Croissant.
Croissant.
Oh, Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio, Dr. Samira Umat, and I'm Lynette. Good morning. Thank you, Mark, for filling in for me the last 2 weeks that I could be in Italy and enjoy the airport strikes and, you know, miss every flight and get bumped off every flight. Thank you for that.
What airline were you on or not on?
Not on Delta, but they had an airplane strike the one day that we were supposed to fly out.
Okay.
And then, missed flights, got bumped two flights, and then their own carrier. We didn't recognize their own tickets, and then we got bumped off another flight or two. But we smiled the whole way, and
we're good.
It was a great adventure, and so glad to be back. So
good to have you back.
Yes.
So Mark did a good job.
Yes, always. Thank you, Mark, for being here. He's our producer, so he's kind of with us all the time. But you get to hear his voice when I am gone. So wow, what did I miss? What's going on? Any medical big things going on? In the world, Dr. Mixon, any big pandemics or?
No.
No, okay. Thank goodness.
Okay, so kind of mild, kind of calm.
Kind of mild, kind of calm.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. We're just, no, everybody's just copacetic and happy. And
wonderful.
That's right. And Mr. Biden tells us we're all prosperous. And
okay.
Politician wouldn't lie, would they?
Well,
of course not.
No.
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 So the whole world is sweetness and light. And
okay.
Prosperity.
Very good.
But
wow.
You know, Jerry, talking about the flu season, people are asking,
were we talking about the flu season?
No, we should talk about the flu season.
Oh, okay.
Oh, because we're like there.
Let's talk about the flu season.
Yeah, patients always ask, should they get the vaccine or not? I'm a believer.
I know
they get
the flu shot, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
the flu,
okay.
They don't always get the flu shot right, but I am a believer, and
yeah.
I'm not the first person in line, but I do get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I normally get it, but some years I get busy and forget.
And get it later.
And some years I'm on time. And
There you go. Yeah. My friend that will not get any kind of shot ever. You know, just finished up her second or third bout of 2 weeks off work because of the flu.
Sorry.
And right there is my, I'm not doing that.
No.
Just be down a couple days usually, or not at all if you are prepared. So,
yep.
Send to get your shots. that was my outside voice.
Okay. Granny, get your gun. I don't know.
Yes, Annie, get your gun. Okay, so flu shots, yes. What about that COVID vaccine? I know people are still going, should I do this?
Once more, if I were extremely high risk, I had immunosuppression from cancer therapies or something like that, then I'd probably get it. But
okay. But you don't.
But I don't, and I'm not.
All right.
I tell my patients the same thing. If you're immunocompromised, if you're at risk, you want to socialize, you want to meet with family, you want to fly on a crowded plane, do what makes sense for you.
Okay.
That's right.
Which is probably what we should have done years ago.
Right? It is exactly what we should have done.
Do what's best and what makes sense for you.
And that was the great Barrington Resolution that I signed. You know, which was basically viruses do what viruses do.
Yeah.
And, you know, immunizing the very high-risk population makes sense. But for the vast majority of the American public, that is those under 70, it just did not make sense. And the number of deaths under 50 was minuscule. Mm. And the number of children deaths was, so tiny because it was mostly kids that had cancer.
Right.
And were immunocompromised because of their cancer therapies. Mm. We had, I think, one 16-year-old died. He was a type 1 diabetic, insulin-dependent, morbidly obese diabetic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's at risk.
High risk, yes.
Right.
So, it's this thing of immunizing every school child is just stupidity. But it was medical policy made up by politicians. And, I probably couldn't make up really good political policy, and the politicians need to stay the hell out of the medical.
The medical,
field,
yeah.
Because they don't know anything about it.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Okay, and Dr. Mixon, what about RSV this year? That was a concern last year.
Yeah.
Is it this year?
Sort of, basically the same sort of compromised group. RSV is a virus that is normally sweeps through very young children. By age 2 or so, almost every kid has been infected with RSV. Back when in the 1930s and 40s, when the average American lifespan was 47, we kept our immunity till our dying day. Mm-hmm. But now that we're living to be, 75, 80, 85 years old, our immune systems are declining, and that viral immunity we picked up when we caught RSV at 18 months old may be waning. And so we are seeing now some RSV injuries and hospitalizations of elderly people. And again, it's just because all of our childhood illnesses and vaccines are wearing off.
Have worn off.
Just because we're old and our immune systems are not as good as they used to be. So, RSV is one of those things. Once more, if I were high risk immunocompromised, I'd probably go get a booster. Mm. Just because, you've probably got it 80 years ago, and that's a long time to stay immune. Mm-hmm. But that's the end of that one. I'm not really excited. We did have a big surge of RSV when the kids all went back to school.
Right. Yeah.
That's usually where they get exposed, and they had not gotten exposed for a couple of years, and so we had a catch up. That's.
And the other one that people ask always is shingles.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Well, shingles is one again that, it's a case in which most of us had chicken pox when we were little tiny kids. Mm-hmm. And the immunity is wearing off. When you get up in your 60s and 70s and 80s, your immune response to that virus has faded. And so how we show up with our chickenpox resurgence is not chickenpox per se, it's shingles.
Ah.
And so getting the shingles vaccine when you're over 50 or 60, just to protect you from that flare because you've outlived your immunity is all. Mm-hmm. So I think shingles is a good one just because it can cause permanent pain.
Yes.
And, it's a small percentage. Most people only have pain for a few weeks, but some have it for 3 to 6 months, and a few people get it, and it never goes away.
Okay.
I'd rather get the shot.
I think so. Even though that shot you said was kind of the painful one.
It was a painful one. I did not enjoy it.
Okay.
But, I think I'd enjoy shingles even less.
Yes, absolutely. So there are your vaccination and shot questions answered first thing this morning. Hey, let me give you the phone number. If you are waiting and you have a question for Dr. Umat or Dr. Mixon, right now is the time to call. Phone lines are wide open for you at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Call with your questions about your health, a recent diagnosis. Maybe you're starting to age, or you went into the doctor and you had so many questions for your doctor. Your primary care said, well, that's just because you're getting old. Don't accept that. Call us up. Let's find out what we can do to help you. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and we are here for you every Saturday morning taking your questions and hopefully getting some answers or at least some information to you with the doctors, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. UMAT. 1-800-465-8770 is the number. Now, I was surprised I got in today, and I had your new book, Dr. Mixon. It's here.
It's here. It's
Woo-hoo!
Here.
I love this. So, and there you are, right on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
You're kicking a clock.
Yep.
I love that. Yep, that's him. Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier at any age. Lifelong is the name of the brand new book. And I know our listeners and our patients are already, and even our employees are like, the staff is like, we want to get one. And so what, did I just open a can of worms? How can we get one? Yes. Oh, good. Good.
Yes, you have opened a can of worms.
Yes.
You know, it will not go on Amazon until mid-January.
Okay, so after
February.
Christmas. So this is an early release.
Yeah. Okay. So right now, you know, I've got 5,000 of them in our fulfillment center here.
Okay.
And but they aren't on the website yet. They, I mean, you've actually
I've just done tempted everyone.
Too soon.
Okay.
You know, we're gonna put a bunch of them in the clinics, I guess. You know, as people come in that want one, and I guess we could mail them out to folks and stuff.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just big, you know, signing them off for my staff.
Yes.
So, you know, Samara got.
Yes.
Bob and Len and you all have.
So I wasn't first.
No, you were number four. I think.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Company president, the CFO, and the medical director were the first three.
All right, I can accept.
Much appreciated.
Radio
thank
show
you.
Host number four. I can deal
Feel
with that.
Feel honored. So. Thank you.
Yeah, well, this is something you've been working on for months. This has been the year of writing and editing again, and then having somebody else edit, looking at pic, you know, getting everything, and now it's real. It's happening, and you're doing this. As part of a television program for PBS.
Well, we were, but no,
okay.
I think that one is off.
Okay,
I think
okay.
We've got other ways we want to go.
All so, right, so
no, it's I've actually got three more books that we're going to be doing.
Okay,
so, but this is the first.
Okay,
and yeah, I'm going to do one with Dan Nelson on pain.
Oh yes, Dr. Dan from Pro Ortho.
Yep. And we're going to do one on longevity and its patient population. Going to have each of the doctors come up with a few patients, or if the patients are listening that want to be in the book, you can apply.
Ooh!
Because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what their life was like before longevity.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about their care at longevity, and they'll have to sign a release for that. Of course, we won't use their real name or anything.
Yes, so. We'll make up a name.
Yeah. But, and then, you know, so then the doctors can talk about the science, what they did, why they did it for this person with their problems, and then what their life has been like after they have been treated at longevity and, you know, and they get their continuing care. So I think that'll be nice. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, if you got 15 patients with, you know, 20 pages each, that's another 300-page book.
Mm. There you go.
That's one that'll almost write itself.
And you know that our listeners and people out there and anybody over 40, 50, 60, 70 is going to relate to some of these patients by going, oh, yes, I've dealt with that or I'm dealing with it now.
Yes. And that's the point. Is,
yes.
Yeah, if we put in 12, 15, 16 patients, it's going to resonate with almost everybody who's going to see themselves in one of those.
Yes.
The things that happen to us as we age are frighteningly standardized. You know, the slower, fatter, weaker, dumber, sexless kind of kind of describes the process of getting old. There's no such thing as aging gracefully, because aging is the progressive loss of our graces. And it's unfortunate, but it's true.
It's true. Yeah, and you can take it and go, well, oh, well, or you can do something about it.
That's right.
Which is why we're here every Saturday morning. Leading Edge Medicine, medicine, of course, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we are waiting for that very first phone call. I think it's coming through right now. But we're going to take a break in just a moment. But let me give you that number again right now to call with your questions. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Dr. Jerry Mixon here waiting for your phone calls, and Dr. Samira Umat as well. Okay, we will be back with your questions in just a moment. You stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine continues.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-foot chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, give one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind.
Well, and welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. Oh, good morning, Saturday morning, the last Saturday in October. Just a few days left. We're already into November and December. Wow, the season has begun. Maybe you're feeling it, a little cold. Yeah, it's turning the heat on. Maybe some changes in your body. We want to know what's going on with you. And if you've got questions, give us a call. Get on right now. Don't wait until the very end of the show. Our queue is open for you at 1-800-465-8770. Of course, we're live today. We are going to Palm Meadows. Benz is on the line. Benz, where is Palm Meadows?
In Florida.
Okay. It didn't. We don't have many palms in Washington, so I assumed it was somewhere else. So, Palm Meadows. Okay. Well, good morning, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat here to help you out.
Good morning, Benz.
Good morning. Good morning. So, tell us your story. What happened?
Okay. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you very much for taking my call, and thank you so much for all the great work that you do there. I really appreciate it, and. I'll just preface that I've been a patient for about 3.5 years, and I'm calling on behalf of my brother who has Bell's palsy, and he has had it for about 9 weeks, he said, and he has had it previously twice, so this is the third time he's had it. The last time was about 9 years ago. And I know from what I understand is that Bell's palsy is not hereditary. However, there's been about 12 members in our family, myself included, that have had Bell's palsy. So there's just interesting side note there. So if you could help me find out, maybe I can convey some information to him.
All right. Well, I'm not quite sure how much therapeutic information I can give, because therapy for Bell's palsy is kind of nonspecific.
So what is it, doctor?
Yeah, Bell's palsy is a condition which is a sudden onset of loss of function in the 7th cranial nerve. It does about a third of the face, and it's usually one side. And suddenly that nerve becomes partially or completely paralyzed. And so you get drooping of the face, sometimes drooling or difficulty with your eye. It's kind of numb. The muscles aren't working. You know, the problem is we normally ascribe it to a virus, an illness of some sort, but not a particular virus, and that's part of the issue. We can't say, well, have this immunization and you'll be safe from Bell's palsy. People are prone to it. People that have had cancers or recent infections, earaches, trauma, anything that basically lowers their immune response can set them up for an attack of Bell's palsy. It's not usually permanent. And I say not usually. There are rare cases in which it just doesn't go away.
Wow.
It comes and just stays. And, you know, so if it's a long-acting one, then you want to make sure there's not a tumor or something that's damaging that nerve, because it would certainly be possible to have a neuroma or some sort of tumor, an intracranial tumor that was hitting it. But generally, it comes, it stays anywhere from a few days to a few weeks, and then it fades away.
And it's just gone.
And sometimes it's treated with steroids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Things like, medroxyprednisolone, those sorts of things to damp down the inflammation and the swelling around the nerve. And I know a lot of docs think that helps. I'm not so sure. But you know, since we don't know what the virus is, we don't know really why this person's going to get it. And in this case, why is it clustering in the family?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Mendelian genetics. In other words, we can't say, yes, if your grandmother and your mother had it, you're going to have it. But it can. There are clusters of it. And there are probably people that have a genetic predisposition, but it doesn't seem to follow any of the classic genetic patterns. So, that's not much help except to try a short course of steroids. You know, they have what they call a Medrol dose pack, where you take, 4 milligrams of methylprednisolone, and you take 6 pills today and 5 tomorrow and 4 the next day and 3 the next day and 2 the next day and 1 the next day and see if it helped.
Mm.
So, wish I had a lot more therapeutic information I could give you to say if you do this or you do that, it'll go away, but I can't.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, just so you know, my brother did say that he is treating it with, a little shock type impulses on the side that is affected.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that he's taking any medication or steroids. I'll have to ask.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he may be using the acoustic wave therapies, where they try to decrease the swelling and the inflammation around the nerve with the acoustic devices. And, we have one of those in our office. I don't think we've ever used it for Bell's palsy, though. We used it for prostate enlargement and that sort of thing, and sometimes for shoulder and hip injuries. Muscle spasms. Anything where we can increase the blood supply and decrease the inflammation.
Right.
I can see a rational reason for trying it with Bell's palsy. But once more, I'm not aware of papers that say it actually helps, which is one of those things that, nothing else we have really is going to help. Why not give it a try?
Mm.
Could I ask you one more time? Excuse me.
I was just going to say that stress and sleep deprivation can also aggravate Bell's palsy. And sometimes it runs in people who have autoimmune diseases. Do you have any autoimmune conditions in the family?
I'm not aware if we have any or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Autoimmune. I'll have to
check. It was just a thought.
I do want to ask, because I tried to write down the type of steroid that you mentioned that might be beneficial.
Yeah. The brand name.
Say it again, please.
Yeah. If you have the doctor, tell the doctor Medrol. 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 It's a Medrol dose pack. It comes prepackaged with 6 rows of pills. 6 pills in the first row, 5 in the next, 4 in the next, 3 in the next, etc. So you just start at the top and work your way down, and 6 days you've had all your pills.
Okay.
Okay. And the generic version. Yeah, the generic version is less than $10. So it's certainly worth a try. You spend more than that for coffee at Starbucks. So.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll pass that on to him. Like I said, he's had it 9 weeks. I just called him last night to see how he was doing. He says, it's been 9 weeks. Like, oh, my God. The last time he had it 9 years ago, he said he had it 5 or 6 weeks then.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can take as long as 6 months for it to go away. So.
Yeah, they almost always do go away, but it's quite variable, and it can last a long time. Like I said, there are those rare people that it's a lifetime affliction.
Mm.
Well, I was thinking because it happened 9 years ago, maybe his autoimmune system, or his immune system, rather, is not strong,
yes.
So it might be taking longer to...
And, yes, well, it's possible, and, you know, if there's a stressor, and then the virus comes in, and then it just takes a long time, so you got to help him de-stress and get his sleep.
That's right.
Okay. I'll let them know. Yeah, because I've had... My dad had it 3 times. I had a sister had it 4 times. He's had it 3 times. God, it's terrible.
Certainly sounds like it's a family predisposition, at least. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, lucky us.
Yeah, well, lucky.
Thank you very much again.
Hey, listen, that's better than a family predisposition for, you know, a fatal cancer.
Yes, yes. Right.
That's true.
That's right.
Okay, well, thank you again for all your work. You guys are great.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Good luck, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you for the call, Ben.
Yeah.
All right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Be our next caller. Get right in with your questions. Don't wait until the very end of the show. And it looks like you talked about all sorts of things last week. You had tendons and hormones and knee replacements
Well, we had Dr. Dan Nelson here as a guest.
And
then we
got
a call on macular degeneration. So Michael Gilbert did call.
We had three docs for
yes,
really. You, Dan, and Michael. Yes.
Well, there you go. It took three of them to cover just the two of you.
We can never do that.
Oh boy. 1-800-465-8770. Get through right now with your questions. The show is live today. Now, upstairs, what's happening with our longevity medical clinic in Kirkland? I know we were almost open. I got a little tour. Headed toward the grand opening, but we're open for business.
Yep.
Do you have desks up there yet?
Front desks are still waiting.
Okay,
still waiting.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
We got part of one of the front desks.
All right. I think you guys want your desks back down here, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. They might need them down here.
We can still function. We can do everything that we were doing in the other clinic. So everything that Longevity offers and more.
Very good.
Because Kirkland offers a whole host of other things. But the complete look is not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did see where your office was.
Oh, you did?
No wonder you're needing new shoes.
Yes, you saw that, huh?
Can't wear the high. I was like, yes, no wonder she needs comfortable shoes. She is running back and forth and back and forth.
She wanted the big corner office.
There you go.
She's got it. You know, be careful what you ask for.
I know.
I tell
everybody that you chose that office for me, and I'm very appreciative and very grateful. And they go, oh, okay.
Yes. Well, this is wonderful. This, of course, is our clinic in Kirkland.
Yes.
We did not open a fourth clinic, not yet. But this is the Kirkland Clinic. It's just moved 5 minutes away now, upstairs from where we like to broadcast and where our administration is. And you can come see us if you've been listening, going, you know, I'd like to be a patient, kind of nervous. You know, it's not that hard to do. So many people, just like Ben's, he lives in Florida. He's still a patient of Longevity. Mm-hmm. You can do that. I noticed somebody last week had asked the question, do you take out of state? Yes, we do at Longevity.
We do.
And we have three clinics, Linwood, and we also have Tacoma, and then our brand new beautiful facility right here in Kirkland. So, Dr. Mixon, Longevity has been around for how many years now?
Well, since 98.
So we're talking 25 plus.
Years. Yeah.
25, about as long as the radio show has, too. Mm-hmm. And you're still, I love that the reason you opened the clinics is because you care about people. You have a passion for people as we're growing older and things that we could take care of. We just got to do something about them instead of just ignore them,
right? Yeah, we do. Well, you know, one of the presentations that I've just been working on the last week or so is on why do we get old? You know, what's involved? When I started looking at this way back in the 90s, we had a lot of theories about aging. And some folks thought, well, it was caused by oxidative stress and free radical damage. And then other people said, well, no, it's just replicative shortening of your telomeres. And as your telomeres get short, your lifespan is getting shorter. And other folks said, well, no, it was the hormonal decline and so on. We started 25 years ago primarily looking at hormones because that was a obvious cause of declining performance. Mm. Now, it may not have been the cause of aging, but, you know, we can't make you have lived fewer days and years. So we initially just addressed performance. Why is it you get slow? Why do you shift your metabolism towards fat? Why do you get tired? You know, why is your muscles shrinking? Why are your bones thinning out? And a lot of that was under hormonal control. So that was the first thing we started addressing. But then, as the decades have now passed, you know, or 2.5 decades further,
right,
we know that aging is now a multifactorial process. And I came up with at least 10 and probably about 12 before I'm finished, things that are causing aging. Mm-hmm. And the hormonal decline is indeed one of them, but mitochondrial dysfunction, the mitochondria, the little organelles within every cell that produce the energy to keep you alive. And as we age, those are becoming less and less effective. And so, you know, restoring your mitochondrial function will be part of it. You know, there are changes in our DNA. Our actually genetic code is being damaged with, you know, methylation over time. And so we've now got tests that led us to measure the DNA. We've got a whole lot of things. Like I said, probably 11 or 12 factors altogether. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the nice thing is that at longevity, we can now address all of them.
Yes.
Okay. Every single thing that's involved in the aging process that we know about. Now, there may be 10 others that we have not yet identified. Mm-hmm. But as soon as science identifies one of the factors that's causing you to get slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless, we jump on it and start trying to address it at Longevity Medical Clinic. And with pretty darn good success.
Absolutely. We've seen it. We hear it from our patients that call in. I don't think I've ever heard anyone call in saying, I'm a patient at Longevity and I feel worse than I did when I came in.
No
that's not been, that is not the issue at all.
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
We would love to have you come in and find out where you are. See what's going on with your body by taking that free health analysis appointment. Two simple tests, a blood test and an in-body test to find out what's happening. And you can schedule that by going to our website and picking the day, the time, even the clinic closest to you with your busy schedule. Or you can call us right now at 866-86-YOUNG and we will get you scheduled and on your way to feeling better. All right? That's 866-86-YOUNG to call for that free health analysis appointment. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back next with John. We're going to talk about migraines. And if you have a question for the doctors, give us a call at 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Life's a dance, you learn as you go.
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine on your Saturday morning. It is a beautiful day, sunny but cold and crisp. Perfect for this time of year. So there's your weather forecast the next 3 days. Lots of sunshine. How about that?
Cold sunshine.
Yes, cold sunshine. My favorite, my favorite. 800-465-8770. Get through with your calls. Don't wait until the end of the show. If you've been wanting to ask Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat something about hormones or diabetes, maybe something that's going on with your spouse that you don't quite understand, or maybe some new symptoms for yourself, give us a call.
You know, I started the show last week with a new article published on Medscape that said that patients with type 2 diabetes really benefit from testosterone replacement. Mm. And I was like, okay, finally,
yes,
medical literature is catching up
to longevity.
We've only known that for 25 years.
Right. So. And it was, you know, a coincidence that Mark was here and he said, oh, I'm diabetic. And, you know, mm-hmm. we talked about that quite a bit, actually.
You know, yes. Yeah. I just did a big literature search on stem cell rejuvenation.
Mm-hmm.
one of those is just talking about the fact there's a lot of different things involved with aging. And one of those is our stem cells, the cells that allow us to grow new tissue and repair and turn over tissue, start getting depleted as we age. We get stem cell senescence, so the stem cells are less effective, and we get fewer of them. And it turns out that one of the most effective ways of stimulating stem cell production and rescuing damaged stem cells is testosterone.
Mm. Wow.
And so it does a great job. In fact, I was talking to Dan Nelson about this earlier this week as we're chatting about putting out our joint book. He has always commented that when longevity medical clinic patients come to see him, he knows they're going to do better than other patients. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because he's taking stem cells out of their bone marrow and he's injecting those stem cells. Well, many of the things that we use with our patients actually increase the number and the viability and the ability to be stemmy of stem cells. Mm-hmm. And testosterone is one of those. Metformin's another. Resveratrol's another. These are almost all of our patients are on all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we look at the long list, and there's about 15 or 18 things that will help stem cells become more active. The vast majority of them are things that we already do at Longevity Medical Clinic.
Wow.
Is we're actually getting people's stem cells to rejuvenate and be more active so that they can heal and grow and repair tissue better than other people. And one of those many things is, like I said, the testosterone.
Yeah. I think I hear another book on the testosterone, not just a man's hormone.
Oh,
yeah.
All the good things it does for men and women.
Well, the things it do for women are pretty fabulous. Reduce the risk of breast cancer. Give them better bone density so they don't get osteoporosis.
Right.
Help get rid of that menopausal depression.
Mm-hmm.
Help them so they're not as tired. It gives them more energy. It gives them better stress tolerance, less anxiety. They sleep better.
So many good things.
Yeah. So, testosterone should be used in the vast majority of women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always somebody that's got a serious contraindication. We can't give it to them, but the vast majority of males and females should get their primary sex hormone restored, and that primary hormone in men and women is testosterone.
Okay.
But they should also have their blood sugar brought under better control. They should be, get the polyphenols and the stilbenes that are going to help restore their stem cells, that are going to decrease inflammation.
Correct.
That are going to improve the blood supply to all of their organs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of good stuff we do at Longevity that other clinics don't do.
They just don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Give us a call right now. You've got a question? We'd love to talk with you. 800-465-8770. We're headed to Maple Valley now. John is on the line. Hi there, John. Good morning.
Hello, John.
Hey, good morning. My question is around a bit. I'm the researcher in the family that try to help my wife who has suffered her whole life with migraines. And when she was young, they were just around, her period. And, we were told by doctors, well, when she gets menopause, that'll go away. Well, it actually got worse.
Yes.
And we have a pretty good cocktail. We can now stay out of the emergency room. And we've been to supposedly all the top migraine specialist in the Northwest, and we know the trigger is rapid changes in barometric pressure.
Okay.
If we see a 20-point change in under a 4 to 6 hour period, it triggers it. And the worst part of we can avoid the actual main migraine, but we've not been able to find a way to avoid the prodrome and postdrome serious emotional symptoms of extreme irritability and light sensitivity and noise sensitivity. And anyway, I was wondering if you had any idea. We're pretty good on hormone balance. She's she's really, you know, we've taken notes listening to you over the years, and she has a good naturopath, and she's checked every 3 or 4 months, and she's pretty good about that.
Good.
And when she's not in this period, she just, you know, has a zest for life and fantastic. But when she's in this period, and it can be 2 days before and 2 days after, sometimes it's 3 or 4 days. I was on the path lately of possible ENT related because of the pressure. And I've been trying to kind of see if there's anything there. But thought I'd throw that out to you and see if you had any thoughts.
Well, you know, migraines have been hormonally related. We've known that for decades and decades. Mm. It's really kind of interesting that about 75 to 80% of all the women who show up in the emergency room with acute migraine disease do it during that last week before the period starts.
Oh, wow.
When estrogen and progesterone levels have suddenly dropped. And that low estrogen progesterone balance is, we think, what triggers the migraine in a whole lot of women. But, you know, sleep disorders, anxiety, stressful situations, yes, even weather changes can indeed trigger migraine. I am curious, though, as to, you know, you have a naturopath that is following up her lab work every 3 months, which I approve of. That is good. How old is she?
She's 60.
Okay, so her estrogen is down about two-thirds of the way to the floor by now.
She supplemented pretty good. We work with your pharmacy partner there, and
good.
Her numbers, and I don't have them with me. I didn't really plan to do this, but as far as her numbers on her progesterone, testosterone, thyroid, DHEA, pregnenolone, estrogen, they're all seem to be where he would like them. I don't know if they're where you guys would want them, but.
Well, and that's precisely my question is, this is the sort of thing you look at and you say, okay, we're getting supplementation of them all. Are we getting adequate in some of them? You know, if she's getting increased irritability during this time, then that makes me think that progesterone or pregnenolone may be down. If not down, at least lower than it needs to be to alleviate those. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be that, and again, this is something you need to work with your physician about, but it may be that there are certain times when she's approaching a migraine phase to raise that progesterone, raise that pregnenolone. Mm. My wife does not take the same dose every day. We alter
sure.
her.
But I think, Jerry, what he said was interesting, John, was about the barometric pressure.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what are you seeing? Is it the rains? Is it the summer? What it is
we actually monitor the pressure on an hourly basis. I have a little app, and we keep track of it, and we map it. And when we see, let's say we're, you know, at 1,000 and we drop to 980 because a pressure system is coming in, low pressure is coming in, storm coming in. And because we live in Maple Valley, my engineering background says that we have this little bowl and there's only one pass out of the mountains out through Enumclaw. If the weather comes from the west, we get a quick change. We'll get that quick drop. If the pressure comes in slow and gentle from the south up the valley, we get a gradual change, and she's fine mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
It's this, I'll say, 4 to 6 hour 20-point drop. It's got to be at least 20 points. If it's 10 points, it doesn't trigger it.
Yeah. You know, I remember way back in the Stone Age when I was a medical student, we were talking about people and their arthritic joints predicting weather changes.
Oh, I can feel it in my knees and my elbows.
Yeah, it's going to storm. I know because my knee is telling me that. And, you know, in those days, they poo-pooed it.
Mm.
But then it turned out that really and truly, human beings have baroreceptors, and we are able to tell. And there are people who get joint pain or headaches or anxiety attacks. I mean, there's a variety of symptoms that can show up with shifts in barometric pressure.
Wow.
And your wife may have two diseases, actually. Mm. She may have migraine disease, true migraine disease, but she may also have baroreceptor headaches. Mm. In which her sinuses are triggering her headache. Mm-hmm. And the sinus headache may in turn trigger the migraine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these can be a complex stepwise process.
Right. I mean, if she's had a lifelong history of migraine headaches, I'm sure she's had scans and MRIs done.
Oh, yeah, we've had dozens of them.
Right. Yeah. But if nobody's looked at the sinuses, I think you're on the right track to maybe have somebody take a closer look at her sinuses mm-hmm. and see if she has any sinus disease.
Yeah. Although even with the sinus baroreceptors, Imitrex and Maxalt sometimes help.
Right, they do.
So those are two specific migraine pills that have been recommended in that particular situation.
Right. She's used Maxalt for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. So,
right. Okay.
But, good. Yeah, I just, I'm out there always searching, and I think I really would like to find a really good ENT person who had some interest in this. Most of them are, that we've come across, they're like, migraine.
Well, ENT is a surgical field.
Yeah.
And so surgeons like to do surgery. They don't worry about baroreceptors.
Migraines, it kind of overlaps with neurology. And so it's like, okay, well, the neurologist will do it. So the ENT backs up.
And it's neurologists.
Yeah.
It's ENT.
Yeah.
And it's vascular guys.
Right.
Because you end up with strokes, too, with migraines.
Sure.
Yes.
So. Oh. All right. I hope we've given you some information there, John.
Yep. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Take care.
Right, bye-bye.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we're back with Ed and with Paul, and we can take your phone call as well at 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back in just a moment.
Living on love. It's like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love.
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and Dr. Mixon has his cowboy boots on, and you're shuffling across the floor.
But my Stetson's up there in the rack, though.
Yes.
But yeah, I am in my jeans and my cowboy boots.
You got them on
today.
I wore
my Stetson and my leather jacket in today.
All right.
Didn't bring my horse.
Not today.
Well, I did once upon a time when I was a country doc, and I was a country doc. And I happened to be riding in the Rodeo Days parade.
Oh.
And my pager went off. And it said, Dr. Mixon, OB stat.
Oh, boy.
And I wheeled my horse out of the parade route, and I went galloping through the town up to the emergency room entrance, threw the reins to the nurse to let her hang onto the horse, and I ran in. And
of course, she knew what to do with the horse because she wasn't in the city.
She washed his hands really quick and got there just in time to catch that baby.
Deliver that baby. So,
remember those days? The pagers?
Yes. I'm one of the few doctors who has ever gone for a delivery on horseback.
I love it. Wow. I thought I had to watch Bonanza to get that. That's awesome.
You have to do it with me. That was my favorite little horse named Rusty.
Oh.
He was a feisty young stallion. I really enjoyed him.
But. Now, if you love horses, generally people like dogs too, but I don't think you've ever had a dog, have you?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
oh,
I've
you
had
have.
Dogs. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I used to enjoy Malamutes.
Oh.
Great big Malamutes. But when I had my first child, the Malamute did not recognize the kid as part of the family.
Mm.
And rather than let the dog eat the child, which probably would have stressed out my wife a bit. Yeah, she'd have been a little pissy about that. So either the dog, the child, or the wife had to go. Turned out to be the dog.
Okay.
So, is this the husky? Is that what you're talking about?
The Malamute.
Malamute is a... When you look at, dogs have particular characteristics. You know, some are water dogs and some are retrievers and some are terriers and some are herders. The Malamute is
just big.
He's in that he's in that same family, but he's bigger than the standard husky.
Oh,
and when you read about their characteristics, it says marginally trainable.
Okay.
They are tough. They are independent. They're the kind of dog I like.
Well, that's why they're so pretty, too,
well,
with those
I
big,
mean,
glassy
the,
blue
the
eyes.
The huskies are incredible. Yeah. So a little bit different is what I'm hearing you say.
You know, it's like when that dog was a young puppy.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the living room one day, and he came over. And he was just a tiny little thing.
Uh-huh.
He came over and bit my toe. And reflexively, my leg flashed out, and he went flying across the room. And
did he do it again?
And instead of going, you know, heep, 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 no. He sat up, bared his fangs, and came right back at me.
He wants to play.
He was not playing.
Oh, boy.
And this is a puppy, okay?
Yes, this is a puppy.
That's right. Okay. By the time he hit 100 pounds, he was formidable.
Yes, right. Yes.
Okay.
Rather than let him take the child in one gulp.
Yes, you made the right choice, Dr. Mixon. Sorry for all you dog lovers out there. All right, let's take another phone call. Dr. Mixon, you're wearing your cowboy boots, so it's perfect for you to be talking to Ed, calling in from Nashville. Hi, Ed. Good morning.
Hello. Technically, it's not Ed, it's caregiver, but that's okay.
Okay.
Oh, hey, how are you?
We've heard from Ed's caregiver several times in the past.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we moved to Nashville a year ago, so he still listens to you over the net, but all that good stuff. He's now 93.
Wow, awesome.
Wow, great.
Okay. Had a problem with dizzies, still do, dizzies and vertigo. ENT said it's not an ear problem, it's an eye problem. Eye doctor said it's not an eye problem, it's a cardiology problem. Went to cardiology, they put two fingers on his wrist, and he was laying down, brought him up to a sitting position, and his statement was, yuck. So he says, I know exactly which specialist to send you to. This was the end of March.
Okay.
First available appointment was July 3rd.
Oh,
and I'm like, can we get on the cancellation list? His answer was, there is no cancellation list. We can check a different hospital for you. So we did. Instead of July 3rd, it would have been August 18th. So we cooled our heels until July 3rd. And he took us off of metoprolol. And put us on an off-label use of, I think I'm pronouncing this right, guaifenesin.
Guaifenesin, all right.
Okay. 1 milligram. And he says, that should help, but let's give it 6 months to find out. Well, we started that the middle of July. It's now end of October. We have an appointment with cardiology for, I believe it's the beginning of December. He can't tell any difference, and I'm not noticing any difference.
Okay.
Any suggestions?
Did he get a diagnosis? Just
right,
your first diagnosis.
Vertigo.
Okay.
Benign positional, is that it?
Benign positional.
They tried physical therapy, which made it worse. They tried the Epley maneuver, which took it from occasional to constant. They've tried, let's see.
What is his pressure? What is his pressure when he's not suddenly standing?
Resting pressure.
Resting pressure is about 120 over 74.
Okay. And when he sits or stands, his pressure drops. It drops to what?
I don't remember exactly, but the specialist statement when he took the blood pressure was, you are going to be a challenge. You are the exact opposite of what normally happens.
Yeah.
Wow.
So did his pressure go up instead of down? See, typically what will happen is if you're sitting a recumbent and you stand up and you get dizzy, it's because the pressure drops out.
Right.
Well, it went up by about 30 points. Wow. As I remember it.
Up by 30 points. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So why are they calling it BPD?
That was his statement. His statement was, you are going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have to admit, I have never seen anybody who rose 30 points with the positional change. So it is outside of my experience.
Wow.
I know what to do when they drop out their pressure. The fact is, it happens to me sometimes because my pressure runs a bit low. And, you know.
We're going to take a quick break here. Ed's caregiver, you stay on the line.
Let us puzzle about it and think about it during the break.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your phone calls. Give us a call at 1-800-465-8770. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay right there.